Hey,
I'm Akara Reed, the owner and personal stylist of Mean Consultancy, and I'm a black woman born and raised in the United States. As an African-American woman owning an image consultancy, I felt it was right to create a special episode about black women's hair during the month of February. This episode will be more tailored as an audio op-ed, not only from me, but from other black women. So join me on this audio adventure while we explore black women's experience with their hair and appearance at a workplace and society. Let's get right into it. Welcome to Mean Notes Podcast. My name is Macabre Reed, the personal style consultant with a holistic approach. I'm here to help you be the best version of yourself while creating a smoother and easier dressing experience so that you can utilize your personal appearance for better opportunities. On these fashion episodes, you'll get a mix of original audio content of What's Your Mean, the dressing experience, afterthoughts, speaking engagements, and more. Are you ready to level up your personal appearance? All right, let's get this party started. I curated this topic specifically because the judgment of a black woman's black hair and appearance has been an ongoing issue for decades and still happens to this day. Most importantly, it's a discussion among my black women clients who can't truly be themselves because hair is a major part of or for a lot of women to identify or just feel as a woman. But when it comes to black women's hair, we get categorized as unprofessional, ghetto, that's interesting, or you know those looks, ladies. There's a study reported by Harvard Business Reviews that black women's hair was 2.5 times more likely to be perceived as unprofessional in 2023. Can y'all believe that? 2023. And if you, I'm going to get into it later, but that is just crazy. I'm going to put the link in the podcast notes for you guys to see this study as well. With the findings from this study, 1/5 of the women surveyed had been sent home from work because of their hair. Lord have mercy. Although I personally have no hair on my head, I'm still a part of this discussion since ultimately I don't fit the standards of a white or European person. Over 12 years ago, I decided to go a different route regarding my hairstyle and cut the shit all off. I don't feel like hair defines me as a woman. As long as I carry the functionality of a woman, to me, what difference did it make to have hair or no hair? But unfortunately, we have been programmed, the straighter the better, the longer the softer of a woman she is. My nails are done, the heels are click-clacking, and the outfits are outfitting. But for some reason, my unique personal appearance, which is very African-esque, rubs people the wrong or uncomfortable way. This one thing that society has pushed shouldn't allow others to be the determinant of what is and what isn't a woman. Oftentimes, when I show up, the rejection is expected in the back of my mind. I just definitely prepare myself for it. Whether it's, you know, the cold answers or just no eye contact or even walking, you know, just walking across the room so they can avoid me because I don't fit their standards of a woman. I'm just a woman that decided to not be like every other woman and created my own identity. This is why it was important to me to create this episode, particularly because my services help professionals use their image as a tool since they are oftentimes being prejudged by their clothes or by their presentation. And me sharing my experiences lets you know that I can relate to you. When I come across the older generations, it's like they're stuck to the notion of women should have long hair because they are women. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And also, the discussion is still the same, how they just were treated. But I think their experiences were a lot more worse or crueler because news didn't travel so fast like how it does in 2023 and 2024 with this modern technology. I just think it is crazy and a shame that the Black Hair story is just the same song and dance as of today. I decided to ask some Black women about their experience on this topic, and they shared also a catalog of rejection as well. So take a listen to their story.
I would like to say that my personal experience in the workplace, there was a place that I was at for about 5 years, and it was a predominantly white workspace. I can honestly say that I didn't receive any negative comments to my face about my hairstyles or anything like that. The main thing that I would have to worry about is people trying to touch it, which honestly, like, yeah, it did make me very uncomfortable, and I'd have to tell them that. But I wouldn't really receive any negative comments from them. They'd always say that they like my hair. The only time I would receive negative comments at work in relation to my hair was mostly just from, like, the kids that I worked with who went to predominantly white schools, lived in small towns, things like that. And they wouldn't necessarily say anything hurtful, but they'd say something like, oh, your hair looks crazy today, like if I was wearing a full afro, things like that. So you know, I would take that time to kind of teach these kids that, you know, just because something's different, it doesn't necessarily make it crazy or bad, and how even though they didn't mean to say anything that could potentially hurt my feelings or hurt someone else's feelings, just reminding them that sometimes the way they say things can come off a certain way to some people and hurt their feelings, and just kind of use that as a teaching moment. Now I will say, as far as my wardrobe, the place that I was at for 5 years, we wore scrubs the whole time. So I'll kind of speak more on, the job that I was at after that, where I would mostly wear like a lot of business casual attire. I wouldn't get a lot of negative comments. I'd usually get compliments, but I would notice that sometimes people would think that I was a little stuck up because I like to dress up. I like to wear jewelry. I like to wear really nice clothes. And then sometimes people would come in wearing khakis, which in like a sweatshirt, which there's nothing wrong with that. In my opinion, I just personally like to dress up because I mean, it's just something I like to do. So I wouldn't really get any negative comments, but I could just kind of feel that some people looked at me a certain way, or they just seemed like they had this impression that I was stuck up or uppity because I only wanted to dress a certain way, when that wasn't the case. I just like to pick out cute outfits. So yeah, I will honestly say that when it comes to my attire and my hairstyles at work, I've never received any negative comments, any backhanded compliments, anything like that from my coworkers. I think a lot of them are kind of smart enough to know not to do that in front of me, because I will call them out on it. But yeah, so that was pretty much it.
As a Black woman in America, I've always struggled with identity. Not necessarily related to my skin tone, but sometimes it was related to my name. And most importantly, it's been related to my hair. There have been times in the corporate world where I was in all white spaces, where I've had to explain myself time and time again if I were to change my hair, if my hair were to be straight in any given point, if I were to wear my natural hair, if I were to wear braids or any other style that was not like my colleagues. At the time, I didn't realize the damage that it would do
just to my self-worth, my opinion of myself. And eventually it became something where I began to question myself. There were times in which some of my colleagues would say things like, "Oh, Shaniqua, your hair grew overnight." Or, "I love your braids so much, I wish I could do that to my hair." At certain points, honestly, it was very defeating for me. It made me feel like I was less than. And honestly, I had straightened my hair sometimes just to look similar to them. There was a point in my life about 3 years ago where I decided to combat, right, some of those microaggressions. And I actually decided to twist my hair and to lock my hair. And what I will say is ultimately it was one of the best decisions of my life. I've never felt freer. I've never felt more connected to self. And most importantly, I've never appreciated this journey unlike any other hairstyle that I've had. What I will say is that for the most part in my working adulthood, I've been in corporate culture where the majority of my colleagues were Caucasian or Asian or other. But then I've also worked in predominantly Black spaces as well. And even in some of those predominantly Black spaces, there were comments about my hair as well, interestingly enough. And so what I can say is, despite whatever working environment that I've been in, there always has been, unfortunately, some sort of self-identity issue. Again, whether my hair was straight, whether it was in curly. But what I've come to realize is that my beauty and the way that I feel about myself is most important.
So I wanted to add a bit of value on a different perspective, being a Black woman in the workplace. Initially, my workplace was office settings. In my early 20s, you know, I'd worked in startups, and during the job interview, I'd really feminized my look. I wouldn't say I was very quote unquote butch or masculine, but it felt like compared to my other female coworkers, you know, I was perceived as such. So, you know, once I started working and got the job, it would be business casual, what I guess most men would wear, you know, a button-down shirt and a cardigan over and some slacks. But I always felt like people acted a little bit different around me. Men would dap me up, call me bro a bit. And these were often white men. And, you know, if there was a Black man in the space, he would still refer to me as, you know, sis, or might be like, "Oh, I don't know if you're comfortable being called sis," or anything like that. And I did appreciate that, even though, again, in my early 20s, I was still finding my confidence. But I did feel like I would be looked at a bit differently than the white women that were also mask presenting. So even though I had a full head of hair, in a fro, or sometimes I had a press and curl, you know, it'd be like, "Oh, like, you look different today. You know, oh, you changed your hairstyle," you know, where Susie might have like a taper and look very masculine, and no one would even blink at her. But today, my workplace is quite different. I'm a professional athlete, and I feel that there are microaggressions with more masculine presenting athletes. You know, I've played across the country. I've played in Europe, and someone will say, you know, "Oh, like, why is your hair like so frizzy today?" And it's like, it's not frizzy. Like, you got, yeah, like, it's just really hard to explain. You know, if I'm wearing appropriate basketball shorts as opposed to someone wearing like tights to work out, is someone would be like, oh, you, what, do you want to be in the NBA today? You know, like this would be in a primarily white European country. And it's like, I'm actually wearing what we're supposed to wear. And I would just feel a bit uncomfortable. Or, you know, if you got as close to your teammates, it'd be like, oh, I'm not like that. And that happened more so when I was younger. You know, so I just think it's I've just often felt very uncomfortable in my own skin. But I will say, as I've gotten older, and especially after, you know, I had a fro and then I had locks that were free form, and I got interesting remarks from both black and white people regarding my free form locks. But once I cut my hair like fully off, you know, threw it back to the 90s, I had a very, like, everybody felt warm and receptive to that. So that's very interesting. Although it's a more masculine cut, perhaps it brought out my more feminine features.
As an African American woman in my place of work, navigating perceptions regarding black hair and personal appearance has been a unique journey. I have experienced moments of discomfort due to microaggression, feeling the weight of stereotypes. Regarding the topic of black hair, there's been a delicate balance between embracing my natural texture and conforming to societal expectation. While my wardrobe choices have also played a role, I recall situations where my clothing was judged more closely than my colleagues. While striving for something unique and combating biases, it has been an ongoing challenge on my part, but it is a journey I'm willing to continue.
Hello, my name is Alana and I'm African American. Both of my parents are, and I've been living in the northern US pretty much most of my life, even though we have family in other places like Chicago. And I've recently tried doing my hair acceptance journey with my type 4, you know, kinky textured hair. And it's been super discouraging, and ultimately I've given up because the environments and people that I thought would be supportive have only made it worse. Like recently, I had done the big chop to get rid of all my relaxed hair because I was like, it's finally time to, you know, try accepting it, try seeing if I can manage it again. But it, you know, wasn't super what I wanted, and so I put on some locks for a bit. And I had started a job at a beauty supply store, you know, so with hair care, nail care, everything that you would expect, especially for people of color. Even that situation, it was one of the worst, actually, is because my manager, she was also a person of color. She had textured hair, but she made so many comments along the way, like, hey, you should, you know, clean it up a bit. And I dressed presentably within the dress code, and my hair, my locks were clean and fresh, but it seemed like she just did not like those. And I was like, okay, whatever, sure, I'm getting tired of it. I just made an excuse. And I changed to the wig that I would also wear sometimes. And that was just long, like wavy, non-textured hair, basically. That stopped those comments, but even the higher ups weren't as supportive of the community as you would expect, because all of the like black hair care products, they were so much more expensive than like the rest of the store. They were almost twice as expensive. And when we would ask for, you know, swapping out products each month, they said no because they just didn't sell as well. And no wonder, because all of the non-person of color products, they were so much cheaper that, you know, even people in the community had to make that swap because we couldn't afford the stuff that was intended for us. And that was on purpose. And of course, I couldn't get away from it with the customers either, because when I would have my wig on, a lot of people didn't realize that I was African American. And there was one time when I was helping an older lady, she was like looking at me really skeptical, like, who are you to be giving this advice? and I had to explain the situation to her that I was wearing a wig, and eventually I just had to show her my hair underneath for her to believe what I was saying. Even though I was already qualified, you can be black and have straight hair. It was just really invalidating. And even my manager had did that. There was one time another black guy came in because he was starting his journey. And I was, you know, recommending these products and, you know, methods to do to take care of your hair. And I had to leave him for a bit to, like, you know, go help out with something else. And then the manager came in and she continued, like, oh, she told you to brush your hair with this? Like, no, that's all wrong. And it's so invalidating to know, like, of course people have different methods, but to say it like she doesn't know what she's talking about, it's just, like, humiliating sometimes. And one of the saddest situations that I remember is there was this other black lady that came in. She didn't pass by me very closely. I was at the front counter. She just walked through the aisle and we couldn't see much detail about each other. But she went down and eventually she asked me from a distance, like, hey, do you have any Got to Be products? Because those are super popular in the community for security, holding down any type of hair, particularly wigs. But I was just like, hey, unfortunately, you know, we are a beauty supply store, you would expect it, but we don't have any of their products. And I told her where you could get it. We did only have some other options for, like, security and glues and hairsprays. And she got offended by that. You know, she walked away, like, really fast, kind of muttering under her breath. And I could tell that it was because I didn't seem like I knew what I was talking about. It was nothing projected at her. But because I seemed like I wasn't a part of the community, like, who am I to be talking about that? Or even, you know, assuming anything. It's just so invalidating. It feels like you can never win. And there's so many experiences like these that I have just given up on my journey of trying to accept my hair. I've relaxed it again. And I just have to put myself, hopefully, in an environment that does support me, that, you know, at least doesn't make me feel so put down.
Hello. So my experience in the workplace when it comes to my hair and my appearance as an African-American woman overall has been pretty good. I've been working since I was 18 years old. I'm now 27. And there has only been maybe 1 to 3 instances where there were some sort of, like, microaggressions or just, like, unfair treatment when it comes to my hair as a black woman. One example, I was working at a major retail store for about a year, and I remember coming in for my shift. I was in early, and the team, they were having, onboarding for some of the new sales associates. And the HR manager was there in that meeting. And I walked into the room just to, you know, sit down and have a break before I began my shift. And as soon as she saw me with my hair wrap on, she looked upset, very angry. And after their meeting was done, she walked right over to me and she was like, you cannot wear this. I'm sorry, you cannot wear this. It's not a part of our dress code. And I was unaware that they had anything in their dress code that had anything to do with hair wraps. And I thought it was interesting because I was thinking to myself, well, what if I was, you know, what if it was like a religious thing, or, you know, even just a cultural thing. Why am I being asked to take this off my head? I didn't question it or anything because at the time, you know, to be honest, I was in my early 20s. I didn't know how to really advocate for myself or, you know, try to, you know, push the envelope or, you know, rock the boat a little bit. And I didn't want to. So I didn't say anything. I just obliged. I took it off immediately. And thank goodness I had, you know, just, you know, washed my hair and it was all moisturized and it was twisted and everything. And I just took it down and wore my hair how it was underneath the wrap. But that was really embarrassing. I felt, humiliated in a way because she did it in public, like in front of everyone. Thank goodness no one was really like paying attention. Like everyone was just kind of walking around doing their own thing. But she did it in a way where it was still publicly embarrassing for me. And I know even though most people weren't paying attention, some people did see that because one of my coworkers afterwards, she asked me if I was okay. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm fine, you know. But yeah, that was one of the instances in my career so far where I just felt really, targeted and uncomfortable when it came to how I wanted to wear my hair. And it was a hair wrap, you know, but so that is my experience. Thank you so much for listening to my story and have a good day.
Hello, my name is Lakeisha Spelker and I would like to submit my story for the microaggressions and discrimination against African-American women with their hair. As you can see, my hair is natural. It's twisted. And some white ladies made a comment pre-COVID when we were in the office that my hair looked like Cabbage Patch doll hair.
Although there is a Crown Act now in place to defend black women from some cultural bullying, since especially in workspaces, this still does not negate the treatment that black women face when all we are doing is identifying with our identity, which is fashion and our hair at our natural states. This, however, shouldn't make us miss a beat of every moment. We should just raise our head high in confidence of who we are and what we represent. Black women especially create our identities through our hair and our fashion image. I mean, look at how we are all different. The way we get creative and express ourselves to step outside of our doors and face the world shows that our strength lies more within us naturally. If we are comfortable in our own skin, who says it wouldn't rub off on our black excellence? Because it is, after all, in our black essence. Sometimes some of us feel the need to cover our beautiful crown because of the judgment of society and living our everyday lives comfortably. And some of us are beginning not to care about the norm, since this global pandemic caused a reset in every sense of the word. Many of us women are just simply tired of suppressing ourselves and our identities to please others. I know for myself, man, oh man, you guys can definitely check out the Macabre Read Identity on me.com. I have dived in more of my personal experience. I didn't want this podcast to be all about me, but you guys can read about it. I did do an op-ed from my first person perspective on the website. I'll leave the link in the description. And with the rise of black women's business ownership, we will now no longer need to hide ourselves and truly appreciate our black hairstyles in our own workplace and lifestyle. I really wanted to touch on this topic. This topic was very very spontaneous. Nothing has been showcasing anything about black hair except for the launch of Beyonce's line Sacred, but I wanted to dig definitely more deep. You guys know that I am not into the whole masses topic, but the topic at hand, the discrimination that us Black women go through. I mean, I don't have the hair, but just the essence of me not having the norm of what the masses of what the European standards are. My hair is not straight. It's not long. I have no hair. The other women, they have locks. Other women have want to wear their hair in the afro, or sometimes if they're sweating, it kind of just poofs up and it's not straight anymore, and they categorize that as unprofessional. Sometimes us Black women, because I used to do it as well, want to wear protective hairstyle, and it's very, very convenient. Or the weave is just too long, or you can't wear color. It's just a lot that goes with it. But when a white person does it, it's fine. It's okay. It's stylish. I mean, I'm in the fashion industry, and that happens all the time. It's just mind-boggling to hear stuff like that. So I really wanted to just dive into this topic and definitely collect some thoughts from other Black women on their some of their experiences. And this episode could have been an hour long or hours long, but I want to keep it within the time's length of the goal. But it's just crazy that we are in 2024. But I love that there is such a huge rise of Black women owners, and we're allowed to be in our natural state, which I think is the most important part of who we are, because I do believe that our identity is definitely number one from our hair. For me, it's not my hair. I mean, obviously I'm bald, but for a lot of women, it's their hair. And then number two, their appearance, which is AKA the fashion. And with the rise of Black women ownership on the rise in the forefront, we are able to create a space where we can be at our natural self without being judged. Because when we're doing business, you have to do business. There's very room for them to judge you, because at the end of the day, they're trying to make a sale. They're trying to keep you on board because they never know when they're not going to get a sale. They have to just put stuff to the side. And I really love this. And that just shows that you really have to put your ego to the side, or put the past things that have been embedded in your mind to the side, and truly see who I am, which I really, really love. So I thought it was very important for me to get this podcast in before the end of the month. I had something else planned, but I wanted to rearrange it. So I hope you guys enjoyed. If you want to join the discussion, definitely leave a voice memo and email it to info@mien, that's MIIEN.co. Also, check out my article, The Macabre Re-Identity. That'll be a link in the discussion in the notes. And also, Jacksonville, Florida. If you are there, I will be at the Women's Expo, Mean Consultancy. I don't even know if I have my booth number yet, but I will be at the Women's Expo in Jacksonville. So I'm so excited to be doing more of these types of events. Until next time, yes. Again, if you guys want to submit in your voice note asking a question, definitely email it to info@miien.co. And we look forward to hearing from you. Thanks so much for tuning in another fashionable episode. If you found this episode helpful or insightful, leave a comment on Apple Podcasts or wherever you are listening in. Share this podcast as well to a colleague, a friend, a homegirl, a partner, or even your travel buddy or something. Are you interested in hiring me as your personal style consultant for one-on-one services? Well, they are available. I have the closet plan, photo shoots, wardrobe management, makeover, as well as speaking and workshops for a party of five or more. And I know I don't talk about this much, but my secondary audience, which I do cater to and love near and dear because it keeps just my creative hearts flowing, which is the e-commerce styling for independent fashion brands. So yes, if you know an independent fashion brand who makes their own clothes, or you know, they just is a micro seller, I do lookbooks and campaign advertising for e-commerce styling, because it kind of just gets me in my creative zone when it comes to private clients. You know, my professionals are more a bit on the conservative side, but I do love y'all too. But the creative, the e-commerce definitely keeps my creative heart flowing. So if you're interested in that, log on to www.mien, that's MIIEN.co/services with an S at the end, and check out the description as well as the benefits. And if you're interested in furthering that, you can click on the button and complete the client inquiry form. Are you interested in improving your personal appearance on your own pace? We have fashion tools to help you control the pace of your style journey. Just log on to shop.miien.co and you will find books that you can read that actually has my proprietary system. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye, y'all.